Your heart. It's the only one you have. Fortunately, you also have a choice. Expert cardiologists, talented surgeons, highly skilled specialists, all of whom chose WakeMed. Why? The main reason is the same reason patients choose WakeMed. Everything you need for the best possible care is right here. Learn more at WakeMed.org. WakeMed Heart and Vascular Physicians. Your heart, your choice.
Welcome to the WRAL Out and About podcast. I'm your host, Mark Birkin. Very excited for today's guest. She is a stand-up comic, a writer, and a nacho enthusiast. She's also performing Sunday at Goodnight's Comedy Club in Raleigh. Welcome in Shannon Fiedler. Shannon, good to see you.
Hey, Mark. How's it going?
It's going well. It is Friday, recording this. Thank you for hopping on with us. What I wanted to ask you before this weekend's performance, I know you're on tour right now. When someone goes to one of your performances, what should they expect?
It's a great question, because I think, you know, when you know someone from the internet, which is where a lot of people know me from social media, you have no idea what you're walking into. And I will say my show is a very traditional stand-up comedy show. I do stand-up comedy. That's where I got my start. But if you like what you see on my Instagram, you're going to find a lot of that flavor throughout the performance. So all of the same POVs, all of the same styles of jokes, it's just a little less sketch and character driven. Although if you do like my city girl impressions, they might make an appearance. I will tell you that.
Love to hear that. Is there a favorite impression you enjoy doing? I know you do a lot of different types of characters.
For sure. That's kind of my bread and butter on social. And people ask me this all the time. I feel like I'm picking a favorite child. So sometimes it's hard. Okay. But I got to go with Jersey Girl. She's nasty and like the opposite of me in real life. So I just like love jumping into her character. And she's very Italian, which my family is very Italian. So I feel like even though she's like kind of intense, I feel like I'm paying homage to my ancestors.
I've got to imagine that some of your characters are based on people that you know in real life.
100%. And many are based on me. I think every character, there's like a bit of Shannon in that character. It's like all my different personalities, you know, which is really great and normal. But a lot of them are also, I draw from people that I know, like you said, and they're all people that I love, really. They're my friends and my family. And my rule, especially when I'm doing a character that's based on a location, is that I won't do a city or a state if I don't firsthand know someone who lives there. Because then it just feels like a Google search, which, you know, anyone can do. And I think the reason these have been successful and resonated with so many people is because there's subtleties to what makes these people the people that they are.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm particularly fond of your Dallas, Texas character, the old school Dallas money. That one just, I don't know, it just resonated with me for whatever reason.
I love her too. I love, honestly, any with an accent. And she's fun because I put a wig on and it's the only one that I go blonde for. But she's fun too because she's also a little feisty, but in like the most polite way, which is such a fun line to draw. And so I've had a lot of fun creating her too. And I, you know, I want to get to know the South a little better because I want to put more Southern characters in. I think they're so fun. And even just like the Southern expressions, I love them. I've started using them all in my daily life because I think they're amazing.
Definitely. Do you have any ties to North Carolina? I'm not sure if you've even been to Raleigh before ahead of this weekend's performance.
I've never been to Raleigh, so I'm very excited. I have been to North Carolina once. My cousin, when I was six, graduated from UNC, and I conned my parents into taking me because I wanted to go to the hotel pool. So that was fun. I do have some cousins who have moved down there recently, so I'll get to see them when I'm down there. But I'm so excited. I've only heard the best things about Raleigh, and just North Carolina in general seems to be a state that I've been really wanting to spend more time in. So I'm excited to get a little time there.
Absolutely. And to fill you into, Goodnight's Comedy Club has been in Raleigh since 1983. The original did get torn down, so they're at a new location now. But it's like a who's who of comedy people the comedy scene, stand-up comedians have performed at Good Nights in the past. So a lot of tradition, a lot of excitement this weekend.
I'm so excited.
And I'd imagine, too, at the old location, they have pictures up of, back to, again, 83. So it's like Jerry Seinfeld. And, like, you could go on and on and on. I could keep name dropping, but it's a really, really cool venue.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm so excited.
One thing I wanted to ask you as well, before we get into how your act started, was studying theater in college. I believe it was Middlebury College. Yes. How did that shape what you're doing today?
In every way. So I started, this will probably answer some of your next questions too, but I started as an actress, as a kid, actually. I was a child actress, believe it or not. A little bit here and there, nothing too intense. But so I had always been an actress. I did it like in high school. I loved it. I majored in theater in college and I moved to New York the day after I graduated college. And I was like, I'm going to be an actress. And that was really challenging because when you're an actress, especially when you're starting out, you're constantly waiting for other people to give you the okay, to give you permission to do what you want to do. And I didn't have any other plans. So I wasn't, you know, I was just working some jobs to make enough money for rent, nothing that I was like interested in or enjoyed. And I think at one point I was working 8 different part-time jobs and just like running around New York City, trying to audition. It was exhausting. And after a year of that, I was like, this isn't sustainable. It's not for me. And the other thing that I had majored in was writing. Or English with a creative writing focus. So I was like, I still love to write. Let me try and pivot to that. And so I worked at magazines. I worked at different like blogs. And then I ended up finding myself in advertising as a copywriter, like Don Draper, you know, but less
massage. Mad Men.
Yeah, exactly. So I fell in love with that and I was so happy with it. And it was fun. You know, you're on set, you're making commercials. I was writing all the time. And with advertising, things get made really fast. So your work is getting out into the world. And so I was thrilled and I loved getting to write as much as I was, but I really missed performing. And so I ended up taking a stand-up class and then I fell in love and I was like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do. It's, you know, it's fully your own agency. You're the one who gets to decide when you do it. You're writing all the words. It was the best of both worlds for me. It was everything I loved. And all that to say, I have my background, my core is as an actor. So I think when you come to see my show, there are a lot of different styles of stand-up. You know, some people are really dry. Some people are low energy. Some people are high energy. My show is very performative. So there's physical comedy and there's voices and there's a lot of high energy and storytelling. And I think you can tell that there's an acting background, which I personally think is a good thing, but you never know.
See, you mentioned Don Draper. Mm-hmm. My dream's always been to be Roger Sterling.
Oh, for sure. I'm not that cool, but he's amazing. Dream character.
The type of lines that you have where it's like, yeah. I wish I had been creative to come up with that myself. So you come from the acting background, though. And then you start the social media following both on Instagram and TikTok, more than 200,000 followers. Like, at what point did you start doing that? I don't want to put words in your mouth. I imagine the pandemic had some to do with that.
So pandemic hit right as I was starting to like feel like a real stand-up. I was getting, you know, into clubs. I was getting opportunities. And I was supposed to have my first like Saturday night gig at a real club on like March 17th of 2020. And so obviously that didn't happen. And when it first started, I was like, whatever, I'll use the time to write, relax. But then obviously it was longer than we all thought it would be. And comedy clubs were closed. And I, you know, I was at my parents' house in Rhode Island. So even if I was there, there wasn't a ton of comedy opportunities. And I really missed making people laugh. And I missed having an outlet to perform. And at the time, TikTok was still kind of new. And there weren't many people in my age range. I'm a very firmly millennial, not Gen Z. And so I thought, and there weren't a lot of people doing character comedy on there yet, which now there's a million and there's so many great people. But it kind of was great for me because it gave me this opportunity to try something that I had seen a couple people do, but not a ton. So I sort of got to create what it meant for myself. And I always laugh that the only reason I was able to do it is because TikTok was so anonymous at the time. No one I knew had a TikTok. So I was like, no one's going to think it's weird if I do this. And so I put a video on TikTok, and I think like my second or third one went decently viral. At this point, it wasn't like massive. It didn't blow me out of the water, but it gave me a taste of what that felt like. And I was like, this was fun. What if I try to make some others? And at the time I had in my stand-up set a bunch of jokes about being from Connecticut. And so I was like, well, what if I made a TikTok about being from Connecticut? And then halfway through making that TikTok, I was like, well, instead of just talking about it, what if I created a character and I called her Connecticut Girl? And what if I put her on a date? Because everyone has been on a date. Everybody knows how awkward that is, how much you're like trying to be your best self and all this. And so I made Connecticut Girl on a date, and like overnight, a million views. And I was like, this is crazy. And from there, I was like, well, I live in New York. I could make a Manhattan woman. And then it all just kind of snowballed from there. And that's how those characters were born. And, you know, it's been the biggest blessing to have social media. And I love it because it allows me to reach people in Raleigh or anywhere that wouldn't get to see me, you know, in a club in New York City on a Saturday night. And it's just helped me reach this larger audience, which has made it easier for me to do stand up because more people want to come. And to me, they're such different art forms that I love doing them both. And so I'm really grateful that it was able to take off for me and that it's still growing. And I still find it really fun.
Were you ready for that initially when that first video went viral where you were like, whoa?
I wasn't. I was like literally like every 2 minutes. I was like, more views? Like, what's happening? And at the time it was so, we were so insulated in that it was like the summer of 2020. And so it just felt good to be able to reach so many people. And I didn't really think about what that could mean. I never thought about it long-term past the next video, which I think was really helpful in it. And I was still working my advertising job. So there was no urgency. Nothing was like on the line. It was just fun. And it allowed me in those first couple years of finding the success and finding an audience, I just got to say yes to everything and try it out. And some things I haven't liked and many things I have. And, you know, it's how I found my managers. They found me on social media and we've had this wonderful relationship. And so I had no idea when I made that first video that I would be touring the country 3 years from now. And, you know, I couldn't have told you, I would have never believed it. And I'm so happy that it happened.
See, I have to do a little bit of revisionist history here too, because I think about the pandemic and it's like, okay, Tiger King, Last Dance, and Shannon Fiedler social media accounts.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy. It was such a big moment for me in this weird way, you know, which is a weird thing to say because it was such a crazy time, but it gave me this opportunity. So
what was that like to get back out there after the pandemic to then be able to perform on stage again?
Terrifying. The first couple of times, because before that, nobody knew who I was. I got on stage and there were no expectations and it went well and it was fun. And then the first time that I did a couple like little shows where I was just like jumping onto stuff. But then the first time that I advertised, I was like, hey, I'm going to be at this club. I was only doing like 10, 15 minutes tops maybe. And it was like a bar show and like 100 people bought tickets. They had to move the show to a different location that had more seats because I started promoting it. And I was like, what if they don't like me? Like it was such a different experience. And I learned from that, though, that it's the best. When an audience comes in and they're already aligned with your humor, you're going to have such a more fun show because they know what they're coming in for and they're excited about it. Versus like when you do a show for an audience that doesn't know you, which I still do all the time, you have to give them a couple of moments to get to know you before they're willing to like really give over and be like, okay, I like her vibe. I like her personality. I like what she's talking about. When you're performing for an audience who already is acquainted with your work, they come ready to laugh. And it's good. It lets you know how your jokes are, which ones you shouldn't tell, which ones you should tell. And afterwards, people were like, can we take a picture with you? And it was the craziest experience. I was like, me? You want to take a picture with me? I felt like Mickey Mouse. And it was just, it was so scary. The first time I did like my own show and did like 30 minutes, I was like, I didn't sleep for like a week beforehand. But I've been so welcomed by my audience, and it's really given me confidence and strength, and I've grown a ton, and it's been awesome.
You go right from the frying pan right into the fire.
You have to. That's the weird thing about social media is, you know, people always say overnight success, and that's never the case because there's always, you know, years of work behind it that you don't see, but you do go from nobody to somebody overnight. That part does happen. So all the work has been building, but you so quickly have to level yourself up, and it's a challenge, but I think if you're up to it, it helps you get a lot of experience in a short period of time.
Well, people see the end result. They see the end product. They don't necessarily see how the sausage is made.
Which is good, you know? Leave a little, it's like a magic show, you know?
You're still very young in your comedy career.
Yes.
You mentioned opportunities that you've gotten. What's been the most memorable to this point?
Well, I filmed my special in January, which was cool. It was my first full hour. We filmed it. It was stunning. Keep your ears open. Hopefully we'll have some announcements on when that's coming out soon.
Okay.
But that was the coolest night of my life from a career perspective. You know, obviously personal, I got married. That was fun too. But from a career perspective, it was just amazing to be surrounded by so many audience members, and they were so supportive, and they knew that they were coming to my filming, and like it just felt so legit and cool. And that was definitely the coolest, most rewarding moment. I've also just like gotten some cool perks from being on social. Like I got tickets to the Big East final in Madison Square Garden, like fifth row.
The Mecca.
Thing I would have ever thought to do, but I was like, this is cool. And you know, I got to go see MJ the musical. Like there's been a lot of fun, just like little perks like that. But wider career wise, like just doors have opened because people recognize my face. And so then they're like, oh, I think I like her. Like, let's bring her in. So that's been really fun.
Congrats on the nuptials as well. You almost, I almost keeled over. We're just breezing by that, but congrats on that.
Thank you. No, that was the best day ever, but
sure.
Had nothing to do with my career. I put my phone away the night before, and I was like, I'm not making content. I want to be fully present, which is not always something I'm very good at. And I succeeded. So I think that's why it was such a good day.
You're making this easy for me in terms of one thing I definitely wanted to ask you. When you're not doing comedy, what do you like to do for fun, for leisure?
Great question. I do a lot of activities, you know, like I ski, I surf, I danced my whole life. So I'm starting to try and like take some dance classes again. And I was also a figure skater. So I try to go to the rink. I'm not as much as I would like to, but I try my best. So a lot of that. I play guitar, which is really like, that's my safe space of like, you know, no one's looking. And then I'm going to be honest with you. Most of the time, my husband and I like play Mario Kart and then go to sleep. We're like an old married couple already.
I love it.
Yeah.
You mentioned skiing. Where are we going skiing, Shannon?
Oh, well, I got to go mostly Vermont, going to college in Vermont growing up. Killington and Okemo are my favorites. But I did get to go out west for the first time a couple years ago. We went to Winter Park and Copper Mountain, and it's a different experience.
I hope to do more of that. I try to plan one trip in North Carolina. We've got both Beach and Sugar Mountain. I'll go to one, usually to warm up. And then this last year, I got to go to Vail, and it was just like, it was incredible.
I need to do that. I need to. You guys also have amazing beaches, right?
That's the beauty of Raleigh. And I'll give you some insight here to where it's like, what do you like about Raleigh? And it's like, the place itself, whatever. You're 2 hours from the beach, 3 hours from the mountain. It's like, but what about the place itself? And it's like, that's Raleigh in a nutshell. That's the stereotype.
What else do you need?
Yeah. You get the best of both worlds though, which is the blessing of it. Like usually most places you pick one or the other.
Exactly. That's awesome. That would be like my dream.
I want to make sure I get you out on time here. what I wanted to ask you is, overall, what is your career goal in the comedy world?
That's an amazing question, because I don't know if I totally know the answer. Right now, I'm still in the phase where I'm saying yes to a lot of things. You know, I write long form scripts, so would love to do some of that sometime soon. Nothing beats touring and being on stage, though, for me. So I hope to continue doing stand up and making specials and going around the country. I mean, it's been just so cool to go to places that I've never been before and interact with people in this like weirdly intimate way of like, let's laugh together. Like, that's such a cool thing to do, and to go to all these cities. Like, I mean, I've been to places where I have friends and where I've been a million times. And then like Raleigh, I've been to places that I've always wanted to go to. So that has been really cool. I don't think I'll ever stop being on social, because it's just fun and it's a great way to connect with people. But yeah, I think my goal is for some longer form storytelling on screen, and keep doing stand-up.
Shannon Fiedler, she will be at Goodnight's Comedy Club Sunday in Raleigh. Shannon, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Jake, I'm getting worried. My house hunt's taking longer than expected. We've made so many offers and keep losing out.
You could really use the JAG advantage.
What's the JAG advantage?
The Jim Allen Group, number one real estate team in the state since 1996, with the largest inventory of home sites in the Triangle, 11,000. And they rep more than 65 communities.
The Jim Allen Group? Oh, I get it. The JAG advantage.
Can score with the Jim Allen Group at thejagadvantage.com. Equal housing opportunity.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.